أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا حضرت عیسیٰ علی نبینا وعلیہ وآلہ الصلاۃ والسلام ایک قبرستان سے اپنے اصحاب کے ساتھ ان کا گزر ہوتا ہے اور وہاں پر جب ایک قبر کے پاس پہنچتے ہیں فرماتے ہیں کہ جلدی چلو. اصحاب نے سوال کیا کہ وجہ؟ فرماتے ہیں کہ اس قبر پہ جو ہے عذاب ہو رہا ہے. اور پھر ایک سال کے بعد جب دوبارہ اسی قبرستان سے گزرے اور اسی قبر کے پاس سے گزرے تو وہاں پر اس دفعہ فرمایا کہ رک جاؤ. اصحاب نے جو ہے اعتراض کیا، اشکال کیا، دوبارہ سوال کیا، پچھلے سال تو آپ نے کہا تھا کہ جلدی چلو کہ یہاں پر عذاب نازل ہو رہا ہے، اور اس دفعہ کہا ہے کہ رک جاؤ. فرماتے ہیں کہ پچھلے سال تو عذاب نازل ہو رہا تھا لیکن اس سال اس مرحوم کی جو اولاد تھی آج پہلی دفعہ مکتب میں اس نے بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم کہا، جس کی وجہ سے جو ہے عذاب اس قبر سے، اس مرحوم سے برطرف ہو گیا. یا اگر دیکھیں تہران کے قریب ایک شہر ہے جس کا نام کرج، وہاں پر ایک شخص نے کنواں کھودا جس سے جو ہے لوگ، جس کے پانی سے لوگ آج بھی استفادہ کر رہے ہیں. تقریباً 50,000 لوگ اس کنویں سے جو ہے سیراب ہوتے ہیں. اور جب دیکھا گیا ان کو عالم آخرت میں، جن باغات سے خداوند متعال نے انہیں نوازا ہے، جن نعمتوں سے متنعم کیا ہے، تو شخص کہتا ہے کہ بہت اچھی حالت ہے آپ کی اس آخرت میں. فرماتے ہیں کہ نہیں، یہ تو کچھ بھی نہیں ہے جو خدا نے دیا. اگر میری کوئی اولاد ہوتی اور میری اولاد ایک مرتبہ لا الہ الا اللہ کہتی تو جو کچھ خدا نے دیا ہے اس سے کئی گنا زیادہ مجھے ملتا. نعمت اولاد بہت بڑی نعمت ہے جو کہ خداوند متعال نے عطا کی ہے. اب یہ اولاد باعث سعادت بھی بن سکتی ہے، باعث شقاوت بھی بن سکتی ہے. اگر ہم اپنے آپ کو دیکھیں، مخصوصاً ہم لوگوں نے جو کہ غرب کو اختیار کیا، یا ویسٹرن ورلڈ، چاہے امریکہ ہو چاہے یورپ ہو، جو بھی وجہ تھی جس وجہ سے ہم لوگ آ کے یہاں پر سیٹل ہوئے ہیں، بچے بھی ہمارے یہیں پر رہتے ہیں، اور ہم لوگ اس غلط فہمی کے شکار میں ہیں کہ بچے ہماری اپنی زبان بولتے ہیں، جبکہ یہ غلط ہے. والدین ممکن ہے اردو بولتے ہوں گھر میں، بچے بھی ممکن ہے اردو بولتے ہوں، یا بچے فارسی بولتے ہوں یا عربی بولتے ہوں، لیکن حقیقت میں وہ نہیں سمجھ پاتے. جو زبان گھر میں بولی جاتی ہے اس کے محدود الفاظ ہوتے ہیں، کہ جو الفاظ اس گھر کے چار دیواری کے اندر ہی ان کو کام آتے ہیں. جب گھر سے باہر آتے ہیں کہ وہ زبان تقریباً ایک بیگانہ زبان ہو جاتی ہے ان کے لیے. اور اگر ہمیں انہیں کسی مجلس میں جہاں پر، جس سے وہ مانوس نہ ہوں، وہاں پر لے جائیں تو ایک عرصے کے بعد جو ہے ایک بوریت سی محسوس ہوتی ہے انہیں، اور پھر دوبارہ وہاں پر نہیں آتے. ممکن ہے آتے ہوں 10 سال 11 سال کے بعد تو نہیں آئیں گے. اور پھر کمنٹس بھی جو ملتے ہیں، بہت ہی خطرناک کمنٹس بچوں سے. اگر بچے آج ہمارے یہاں پر آتے ہیں، انہیں یہاں سے بھگانا جو ہے ہمارا، ہمیں بھگانا نہیں چاہیے انہیں، جو بھی جس بھی وجہ سے. تو میں 10 بستہ معذرت کروں گا بزرگوں سے کہ اگر میں اردو میں کم بولتا ہوں، پہلے تو مجھے اردو آتی نہیں، اور اگر بولتا بھی کم ہوں تو آپ سب سے میں معذرت خواہ ہوں. کیونکہ ہدف یہ ہے کہ جوان طبقہ، جو ماشاءاللہ کافی زیادہ ان کا حضور ہے، اٹینڈنس ہے یہاں پر، ان کے ساتھ جو ہے زیادتی ہوتی ہے. اب بچوں کی خاطر جو ہے ہم خود نہیں کھاتے, بچوں کو کھلاتے ہیں, بچوں کی رفاہ پہلے دیکھتے ہیں, یا جب بچوں کی تعلیم اور تربیت کی بات آتی ہے ان کو بہترین تعلیم پہلے ان کو ہم دیتے ہیں, خود نہیں کرتے. اب جب دینی معاملات آتے ہیں یہاں پر ہمیں جو ہے سیلفش نہیں بننا چاہیے, یہاں پر بھی جو ہے پہلے اولویت انہی کو دیں کہ اگر ان کو مل جائے, اگر وہ آباد ہو جائیں تو ہمارے مرنے کے بعد بھی اگر ایک مرتبہ وہ لا الہ الا اللہ کہہ دیں ہماری آخرت کے لیے کافی ہے. تو ہدف یہ ہے کہ بچوں کو جو ہے جتنا زیادہ ملے اتنا ہی زیادہ ہمارے لیے اچھا ہے. الٹیمیٹلی ایک انویسٹمنٹ ہے جو کہ ہمارا انشاءاللہ ہم ہی کو ملے گا. کمنگ بیک ٹو آر ٹاپک اینڈ دیٹ واز ایٹیٹیوڈ آف سرویٹیوڈ, دیٹ از وی ہیو ٹو ڈو سم تھنگ دیٹ وی سبمٹ ہولی اینڈ سولی ٹو اللہ تبارک و تعالی. اینڈ اف یو لک ان ٹو دعا عرفہ وچ از رپورٹڈ فرام ابا عبداللہ الحسین علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام, He says that Ilahi ana al-faqir fi ghina'i fa kayfa la akunu faqiran fi faqri. Imam says that, O God, I indeed definitely am faqir, needy, a beggar. When I am well off, when I am stable, when I am well off, I am in need. And then Imam says that, How can I not be needy when I'm in need myself? Or to put it in easier words, when a person is well off, he is in need of support. And when he is disabled, he is much more in need of that support. The blessings that Allah has given to us, none of them are guaranteed. In every aspect that we look into ourselves, may that be our speech, may that be our sight, may that be the human body that Allah has given to us and everything that we are living in, it's all mahdood, it's all limited, it's all restricted. We are weak in every aspect. The same thing is with this memory that we have. We have the memory today, it may so happen that this memory gets lost and everything just washes away. And it is said that there were these three women and they were old ladies, they were complaining of memory. And each one of them said that, I don't know what shall I do with this memory I have. The first one, she says that, I come to the refrigerator, I open the door, and then I start thinking, why did I come here? Did I come here to put something in, or did I come here to take something out? The second one says that, I come to the staircase, and then I start thinking, I wanted to go up, or I wanted to go down. The third one, she says that, I'm much better than you too. I'm not as bad as you. And she starts tapping the wall, not to get jinxed, touch wood. And then she says, who's at the door? So she was the worst of all. So this memory, again, it's that weak. If it's taken away from us, or if it starts losing, we find that we are more in need. In every aspect, we are in need. Nothing of the of these blessings that Allah has given to us are guaranteed to be with us. So we have to possess an attitude, which is the attitude of servitude. We have to submit wholly and solely to Allah. May that be in worship, may that be in ahkam, may that be in akhlaq, in everything. There is a hadith in Wasa'il al-Shia, reporting from our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam says that innama shi'atu Ja'far man kaffa batnahu wa farajah, that the followers of Ja'far, they are those who protect their stomachs and those who protect their private parts. They are those who protect their lust. Or elsewhere says that mal mujahid ash-shahid fi sabilillah bi a'zama ajran mimman qaddara fa'affa. Is there anyone who could be tagged as a mujahid, as a shaheed in the way of Allah, with that lofty reward, with that great reward which he will possess? And that is someone who has the ability to cross the limits, but still he remains chaste. He protects himself. He protects his lust. He protects his private parts. Masum says that someone who protects himself and remains chaste, he is as a mujahid, a shaheed, who fights in the forefronts and is rewarded the same reward. So Afif is someone who not only does not sin in the open, but even when he is in the dark, when he is in the closed, he doesn't commit a sin. Even if all the temptations are there, if all the channels are there, if all the sights are there, Afif is someone who protects himself. And someone who protects himself gets a lot from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we will explore this topic a bit more. And even in the most hidden of the hidden, that is, even in his thoughts, he doesn't sin. That even now, if a person thinks of a sin, it's not a sin. But someone who is Afif to that high of that high caliber, he doesn't even sin in his thoughts. Shaheed Mutahiri, he reports from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri, says that he was so much chaste, he was so much Afif, that he would never even sin in his dreams. Now, dream is something which is beyond our control. He says that he won't even sin in his dreams. If someone comes and is harsh to him, speaks to him loud, or swears at him, he never swears at him. He's such a pure person. So purity to such an extent that in the hiding, in the open, or in the hidden of the hidden of the hidden, which is the dreams again, those sins, they are not committed by that individual. So one of the best qualities for a mu'min is that he is under control at all times and he never throws up anything. That is, he never utters trash. He never says anything which is bad. He possesses haya, a quality which is great, which is benevolent, which is to be possessed by mu'mineen. Because now again, if you see haya, it is an asset which a mu'min has to possess, but a woman, she has to possess it more. She has to have that chastity more than a man. Why more than a man? Because if the woman loses her chastity, she ruins the man, she takes the man with him. She doesn't lose it herself. So chastity, haya, iffah is something which both have to possess, but the woman, she has to possess it more, because if she loses it, she ruins the man also, takes the man and drowns together. If you look into this dua that we have from our 12th Imam, says that Allahumma rizukna tawfiq al-ta'a wa bu'd al-ma'siyah, so on and so forth, comes to this point, says that wa'ala an-nisa bil-haya'i wal-iffa. That, oh God, it's a beautiful small dua. Imam prays for everyone, asking for tawfiq of obedience, to be away from sins and then to have a good intention. Prays for the hajis, for those who are ill, for the men, for the old, for the young, for the students, for parents, for everyone, and then comes to women. And then says, وَعَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِالْحَيَاءِ وَالْعِفَّةِ. And to women, O Allah, bless haya and chastity. That is modesty and chastity. Now, iffah, chastity, is required for both. Now, again, iffah, being chaste, it is of different stages. It starts from the looks, from the presentations, from the clothing, parts of the body. That eyes, they must be under control. Ears must be under control. Stomach should be under control. That chastity in all of these different angles. It doesn't mean that it's only a cover. That dress code is part of it. In addition to that dress code, a person has to be afif. His eyes have to be afif. Shouldn't see everything. Ears have to be afif. Shouldn't hear everything. The same thing with every other part of the body. And again, if you look into the number of doors that the hell has, says that it has 7 doors. And the openings and the outlets that are given to the human body also, they are 7. the two ears, eyes, nose, mouth, and the private parts, seven, says that this human, the soul that Allah has given to us, that soul, it has a shell, a cover, and that shell, the cover, is this human body. And there are these outlets and openings in that human body, which are those seven outlets, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, etc. Says that these outlets should be totally under control at all times. One of the reasons why we don't have presence of mind when we are offering our prayers, the reason for that is that the outlets outside the prayers, they are open. Because the outlets are open outside the prayers, everything, all trash, gets pumped into the soul, and at the time of prayers, it starts pouring out. So, the teaching is that we have to have these outlets secure at all times if we want to perform a better worship, if we want to stand better in prayers. Now again, in brackets, the dress code that is for women, it's everyone knows, and also for men. It should be something modest that covers the body, that's it. When it comes to prayers, again, it's the same ruling. It should be clean, it should be tidy, it should be modest. And for women, again, it's from head to toe, she has to be covered when she stands for prayers. Now, many a times you find that you, women may say their prayers, they have to have their feet also covered. If there is a non-mahram present over there, she has to have her feet covered, that is, she should be wearing socks. If not, then it's okay. But it's better that the feet should be covered even when she is praying and there is no non-mahram present over there. That is to say that she offers her prayers with having socks in the feet. It was mentioned yesterday that we have to do something that this soul of ours is not contaminated in any way. We talked about these different issues on how the income of a person can be contaminated, and a contaminated income also contaminates the soul of an individual. And the whole concept, the whole idea is to purify this soul. We want to get connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in a report, Ma'asum, he says that, Ma'rifati bin Nuraniya. That is to say that, Amirul Mu'mineen, he says that if you want to know me, you can know me by enlightening yourself. Now, first of all, it's impossible to know Amirul Mu'mineen. There's a hadith, he says that no one knows Allah but Rasulullah. And then he says that no one knows Rasulullah but Ali. And no one knows Ali but me. Now, if someone wants to get closer to them, wants to know them, Imam says, Ma'rifati bin Nuraniya, that you can know me by enlightening yourself with that Nuraniyat that you can achieve. And if you possess that Nuraniyat, then we can get a gloomy picture, a faint acquaintance of the Imam of Ma'sum. Now, with all this contamination that we have in our livelihood, getting closer to them becomes impossible. Elevation becomes impossible. Ascension becomes impossible. So, that purity has to be in our livelihood in every aspect. May that be the hearing, may that be the sight, may that be the heart, may that be the body, may that be the wealth that we possess. Or it shouldn't be as such that we have a livelihood, everything is there. And if someone says that Imam, he is by the door, he wants to come in, we tell him, wait for a minute, we just put a few things aside, then he comes in. Nothing to hide. Everything should be crystal clear. Everything should be pure so that Imam, whenever he wishes, whenever he wants, he can walk into our livelihood. So, says that these outlets, the seven outlets, they have to be under control. A person comes to the marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki. Now, those of you who were the intaqlid of marhum Imam Khomeini, after he passed away, may have remained in his taqlid or may have switched to Marhumatullah al-Uzma Araki. A person comes to him and says that, what shall I do to have a good presence of mind when I stand in worship, in prayers? He says, what do you do? What is your job? He says, I make doors and windows. He in reply says that, make a strong door for your heart. Secure it. Don't let anything, everything pump into it. And if everything pumps into your heart outside your prayers, it will pour out when you are in prayers. It's as easy, as simple as that. Or elsewhere, says that, Al-Jannatu Mahfufatun Bil-Makare. That you want to get to the paradise, it's not easy, it's tough. Not to do this, not to do that. You have to be within the framework, within the limitations, within the bounds, what Allah has said to do, not to do. All these things have to be observed. But if someone is easygoing, he can do whatever he wishes, whatever he pleases, to get to the hell, nothing is required. No effort is required. A person can get a free access to hell without doing anything, with all these sins that are around us. But to get to the paradise, it's not easy. Marhum Ghulam Reza Yazdi is one of the Awtad, a great person. He controls his soul a lot. Now says that, from my youth, I loved baklava, the sweet. Says that, I always desired, I always wished to eat it. I loved it. But for 20 years, I controlled myself. Whenever I got some funds to buy it, I thought of different things and then said it might not be that necessary to buy this sweet at this time. He doesn't eat. Says once it so happens that someone comes and gives him a box of baklava as gift, and then he says, now it has come to me. Wants to open the box to eat it, and then there's someone knocking at the door. There's a beggar. She says, get me something. He says, I haven't got anything. The only thing I have is this box of sweet. She says, give it to me. And that again was taken away from him. And then he hits his tummy and says that, did you see? I controlled you and I did not give what you wanted even after these 20 years. So it's tough. Someone who wants to get to the paradise, it's tough. So all these things that have to be observed, especially these outlets, they have to be observed outside the prayers. And if they are observed outside the prayers, during the prayer, a better service and a better worship can be performed. Again, among these great personalities, it's Haj Agha Rahim Arbab. He swears and says that during my lifetime, he lived for 90 years, says that I never looked at a non-mahram even once. And then says that by God, it is possible. If you intend to do it, it is possible, and that is possible. Now, these are things, as we train ourselves to different things during our lifetime, when it comes to moralities, when it comes to spiritualities, again, it is something which is possible. If we desire, if we want to do something, and we intend sincerely, the path, it opens before us, and we can do it. If you intend, for example, to offer Salatul Layl, and you have clear intentions to wake up, even if you don't have a wake-up call, an alarm clock, you will get up because the intentions were clear. The same thing, if you intend to say your prayers on time exactly, if that sincere intention was there, then you will find that it so happens that the time it opens for you to offer your prayers. So those intentions or those steps, they have to be from us. And again, this is something which we have witnessed ourselves. For example, during the month of Ramadan, when a person worships sincerely, cries, has all this worship, du'as, Quran, recitation, at the end of the month of Ramadan, on the day of Eid, you find that you are light. You find yourself as if you are spiritually elevating. So that is the result of that 1 month of hard work that a person has done throughout the month. So I want to say that it is possible that a person enlightens himself And Imam says that ma'rifati bin nuraniyah, that you want to know me, which is ma'soom, enlighten yourself. If you enlighten yourself, it will be easier to get to the Imam. Without this nuraniyat, it is impossible. Because Imam, he is all nur. Allah, he is all nur. And if we want to get to them, it at-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin. Good is for good. And good, if it wants to end up with good, that purity has to exist. Without that purity, a person can never come closer to the Imam. Quran says that if you want to touch the Quran, you have to be in taharat. That is that taharat zahiri. A person has to be in wuzu or ghusl if he wants to touch the Quran. A person in Medina, he has a question to ask from the Imam, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And at the same time, he had ghusl wajib on him to do. He says, now, I need the ghusl for zuhr prayers, for example. But the question I need to ask the Imam, I'll go and ask him first, come back, do my ghusl, and then say my prayers. He goes to the Imam, knocks at the door. Imam opens and says that you want to come to us with taharat. Go do your ghusl first and then come to us. So, we want to get closer to ma'asumeen, to a'imma, taharat is required. Taharat, which is that inner self, taharat of the soul is required. That has to be pure from every aspect. If you see the ahadith, for example, Prophet Isa, he says to his hawariyin, to his companions, that my brother Musa, he advised not to commit adultery, zina. He says that inna Musa nabiyyallah amarakum an la taznu. He says, but I command you not to think of that indecency. If he says not to do that act, I say not to think of that act. So if you see the whole process of nabuwwa, the whole system of prophethood, it's going to a perfection. It's always that upgraded version that is there. And the final version will be with the Imam of time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So, another salawat. Wa ala Muhammad. So if we are careful of our tasks, that automatic update will be there. If we take good control of our actions, of prayers, of these things, that the outlets that have to be secure outside the prayers, at the time of prayer, or even beyond that, you will find that there is that downpour of ma'arif from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, in this time that we are living in, when Dajjal, he is playing, or he has laid all of his traps before us and around us, it is tough. But again, it is possible. If you look into the pictures that we had for Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam before the Renaissance, the idols they had carved, or the pictures they had in the churches, were of a woman, chaste, dignified, with gaze and sight lowered. But after the Renaissance, because they wanted to remove this chastity and effort from the community, they even played with the picture of Hazrat Maryam. They showed her as a beautiful, attractive woman, and that possessing all that charm which she should possess. Before the Renaissance, it was like that. After the Renaissance, well, that is Dajjal. Dajjal, he comes and attacks through these things that we have, because woman, she is one of those creations of Allah, as Ma'asum over here says, that iffat has to be possessed by both. But she has to possess a bit more, because if she ruins herself, she doesn't ruin herself. She ruins the man also with them. Today, woman, she is a showcase, a vitrine. That she has to wear a clothing, a dress code, which has to constantly change. Now, if you go to these malls, for example, once I went to Manhattan, Macy's Mall, 11 floors, 11 stories, seven stories of it were clothes for women. Seven floors. Half a floor for men and children, a little section for infants, babies, and toddlers. So why seven floors? And again, the clothing that they come up with for women, now the clothing that is for man, with that amount of cloth that is used, 5-6 women can be covered with that. So that is how shaitan comes up, that if the woman becomes, God forbid, loses her iffah, the community also loses that iffah. Now we have to be careful that the inner self of ours, if it opens up before these awliyaullah, God knows what it is. That is why the teaching that is being told to us, that when you are in the presence of these great personalities who are awliyaullah, awtad, or salihin, you repeat that sentence, Ya Sattar, Ya Sattar. Ya Sattar is one of the names of Allah. Oh, concealer, oh one who hides. That is because they've got the ability, they can see the reality, the true form of an individual. When you say that, Ya Sattar, it becomes a cover that they don't see what our reality is. Now, Quran says that, وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ حَيَوَانَ, that Akhirah, everything has life. Everything has life. The true form of an individual will be seen in Akhirah. But there are people, as it was mentioned yesterday in that ayah of Quran, some people, Rasul, the Ma'sumeen, and some Mu'mineen, they have that ability, they can see what the reality of an individual is. So we don't want to disrespect ourselves in their presence, and that's why the teaching is that you say Ya Sattar in their presence, so that our evil or our true form is not revealed before them. So, Iffat, a person has to be chaste, a person has to be afif, both men and women. And again, I report a hadith, it says that if you wear shoes, and when you walk in the streets, and by the tapping of the heels of your shoes, you get pleased, or the person who's the tapping of the heels is heard, that person is mal'oon, is cursed. Means that he is deprived from the special share of mercy of Allah. Nowadays, the shoes that they come up with, especially for women, they tap, tap, tap. So that again is something that we have to bear in mind. So someone who gets happy or by the tapping of his shoes again, according to this hadith, he is mal'oon. Or it was mentioned yesterday that Shatita Naishaburi, this great woman, pious lady, when she dies, Imam comes all the way from Iraq to Ahwaz to say the funeral prayers for her. Why? Because of her chastity. Because she is so pious, because she has enlightened herself, because of that soul which is clear and pure. And it was mentioned, I believe, over here that marhum Ayatullah Sayyid Baqir Sistani, father of Ayatullah Al-Uzma Sistani today, he has a covenant, a hajat. And he imposes on himself, says that for 40 weeks, I will recite Ziyarat Ashura with the 100 Lan and Salam in each one of these mosques of Mashhad. And it was the 40th week, and then he says that that day he will get to the Imam. Says that I was reciting that Ziyarat Ashura, and all of a sudden I see a light flash in one of the streets outside the mosque. I run after the light and I see it travels into the lanes of Mashhad and inside a house where the door was open. And he comes inside and see Imam sits down in the room and there is a body that is laid in that room. And Imam says to him all these things that you have imposed on yourself, 40 weeks of Ziyarat Ashura, all this is not required. Be good, we will come to you. We will come in search of you. And then he says that this lady whose body is here, when he inquired who she was, says that during the time of Reza Shah, La'natullah alayh, when hijab was abandoned and no woman was allowed to wear hijab, this lady stayed in her house for 7 years. That's what she did. Imam liked that. She enlightened herself. She protected her chastity, her iffat. And as a result of that, Imam comes to him. So, among the best qualities is iffat. Someone who is afif gets in the same zone as angels. In a hadith, Ma'asum says that كَادَ الْعَفِيفِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَلَكًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, that someone who is chaste, may that be a man, may that be a woman, someone who is afif, he is as if an angel from among the angels that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created. One of the persons, again, who's very afif and chaste is Marhum Ayatullah Mirza Jawad Agha Tehrani. Now, in the Assembly of Experts, the Khubragan Awwal, he was among the members of those 80 fuqaha in the Assembly of Experts. Now, he is informed by the Imam of time that he attends the war, the battlefront, participates in the war. An old man, 90 years of age, hunched, could hardly stand, but he is a pure person and mentioned in his books that he possessed that quality where he could seize his soul whenever he wanted. Khala, or as it says at Marge Ikhtiyari, whenever he wanted, he could seize his soul out. It's like taking, when a person undresses himself, removes his clothes, they possess that quality where they could remove the soul out of their body. So it's one of those high positions, ranks which they have. Now this great personality, an old man, 90 years of age, he is informed, instructed by the Imam to attend the battlefront. Now because it's a command from the Imam, he does it more than once, so that at least one of them was accepted, is accepted by the Imam. Those who were with him, they say that he could hardly stand. He says that because it's the command, I have to perform it. Stands on a footstool when he wants to hold a gun. Someone has to hold his shoulders so that he is upright. And this pure, chaste person, he has in his wasiyya that, now people say that when we will bury you by the grave of our aged Imam in the shrine of, he was living in Mashhad. He says, no, that nearness would do no good. If you want to see, you've got that Harun who is just beside the Imam. Now, does that make any difference? Oh, over there in Medina, you've got Abu Bakr and Umar just laying beside, side by side by the Prophet. So that doesn't do any good to them. He says that, bury me outside the town. And then, don't leave any gravestone on my grave if you want me to be pleased with you all. And today it's like that. He is buried outside the town and there is no gravestone on his grave. Great personality who possesses that chastity to that maximum. One of the things that help a lot in this journey to the unseen or journey towards Allah, or as we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, because from Allah we have come and to Allah we are returning, it's seeking assistance from Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. As it was mentioned repeatedly, that Safinatul Hussein awsa wa asra. This ship, this ark of Hussein, it's vast. It will take you to your destination fast. These tears that are shed for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, they are great. And there are miraculous reports from Ma'asumeen, and inshallah we will touch that topic as well. There's a hadith over here, Imam says that Thursday, all of the Imams all of the prophets, all of the awliya, they wait for a Thursday to come, and then all of them, they want to go to Karbala. Whenever your heart breaks, whenever you feel like crying, whenever you are disturbed, just switch it to Karbala, switch it to Imam Hussein. If you are under stress, you are disturbed, or someone has hurt you, and you feel like crying and your heart is broken, just switch it to Karbala. And that will help. That does help. Imam to Mufazzal bin Umar says that, do you want to shake hands with all the prophets and the imams? Mufazzal says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah. He says that, go to Karbala on Thursday. And then Imam says, Mufazzal, do you want to shake hands with the near angels and the angels and all of them? He says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah. Imam says, go to Karbala on Thursday. And then he says that, Mufazzal, do you want to shake hands with Ali and his household? He says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah. Says, go to Karbala on Thursday. And then Imam is quiet at this time now. After a while, after a pause, he says that, Mufazzal, do you want to meet God? He says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah. He says, go to Karbala on Thursday. Says, Man zara jaddi al-Husayn ka man zara Allah ta'ala fi arshih, that whosoever pays that visit, that ziyarat to my grandfather Hussein, has indeed visited Allah in the throne, in that arsh. So what has Abu Abdullah al-Husayn done that he possesses that great rank? Now all those who connect and relate to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, or who possess that fragrance of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, are bought at a lavish price in the hereafter. Says that everything in this universe will perish, will come to an end after Qiyamah, Day of Judgment. Said everything will perish, but whatever has remained in Karbala, the land of Karbala, and everything in Karbala will be taken to the paradise as a souvenir. It will be retained, it will be maintained. Anything which belongs to Hussein never perishes, never goes waste. Now these tears, the reports, they say that tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they are preserved by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they are paid back when we are in need. And that is the reason we find in the seerah of the great, of the pious, that they have a special handkerchief which they use to cry on Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And the wasiyat is that when they die, that be laid to rest with them in their grave, with their kafan. So that handkerchief on which these tears shed for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is there, that bears witness for them in the grave and in the hereafter. And anything that is related to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, Azab never comes closer to it. Now, if these tears were there, and a sincere heart was there, and an enlightened soul was attached to it, it's guaranteed. And the reason for that was for the submission of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He submit, inshallah, I'll touch this topic tomorrow and after tomorrow a bit more, that because he submitted wholly and solely to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, all that great benevolence was given to him. So, crying for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, it does a few things. Now this water which gushes out from the eyes, which is connected to this heart of ours, to this soul of ours, which weeps for the masa'ib of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, these tears, they wash away the sins of an individual. These tears, they enlighten an individual. These tears, they enlighten the soul of an individual. It is exactly what repentance does. When a person truly repents, when he repents, and again he's seeking assistance of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Now if you look into all these stories that have been reported to us, Abu Abdullah, he plays a pivotal role in guidance. Safinatul Hussein, اوسع واسرع. Or says that safinat inna al-Husayn misbah al-huda wa safinat al-najah. He is the torch of guidance and the ark of salvation, the ship of salvation. All this is true. About 60 years ago, there's a person, a gangster in Tehran called Rasul-e-Turk. If you Google, you've got the book also online. Now, the beauty of this person was that wherever, whenever a majlis was held for Aba Abdullah, he attends. He washes his mouth and then he attends. On the 9th of Muharram, one of these majalis that were held in Tehran, the host, he comes and says that, I don't want you to come tonight, just be away. He says, okay. Being a gangster, if he wanted, he could have messed that majlis over there. He says, okay, I won't come. When he comes home, he's disturbed. That why was I not allowed, not permitted to be in that majlis? Why? Now that is that opportunity when it knocks to the door of an individual. We have to be smart. When these opportunities knock, when a person is twisting from haq to batil, or from batil to haq, we have to be careful. He's worried all night. And then in the morning, it so happens at 5 o'clock in the morning, the host, he comes back. He says that, Rasul, I want you to come to the majlis tonight. He says, why? Yesterday you kicked me out and tonight you want me to come? He says, please, come. He insists, no, I won't, unless you tell me what has happened. He says, last night I told you not to come, and I had a dream this morning. And I see that it is the day of Ashura, and it's the camps of Aba Abdullah that have been set up. And I find that there is a dog that is guarding Aba Abdullah al-Hussein's tent. And I see that dog is resembling you. He says, I come closer and closer. I see, no, it is you. He says that Aba Abdullah accepted me as a watchdog. What more do I want? Cries, repents, and that was that control, alt, delete, the restoration of his system, and that was his tawbah. And from that day, he repents whatever wrong that was done throughout his lifetime, and he ascends and elevates to a rank where he is reminded and remembered today as among the sulaha, among the pious, among the best. So when a person truly repents, and in particular when he comes to the door of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein and seeks his assistance to get forgiven, Allah never returns the mediation of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Never does he do that. And for this one sacrifice which Aba Abdullah gave on the day of Ashura, says that Allah gave him three things. First of all, the progeny, the imamats, they all were given to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein's progeny. All the 9 imams are from him. Says that the second thing that was given to him is that dua under the dome of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein is never declined, is never denied. It's always accepted. The third is that consumption of clay, of dust is haram, no matter whose grave it is. Exception is the grave of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Dust of the grave of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein is shafa. No one else is that. So, mediation of Aba Abdullah in tawbah, mediation of Aba Abdullah in getting to Allah, mediation of Aba Abdullah through these tears, through these majalis, by attending in a majlis, all that is a top-up, is a bonus to get enlightened. Where Ma'asum says, Ma'rifati bin Nuraniya, the best place is a majlis which is held for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And the best asset is that tear that is shed for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Again, it was the seerah of our fourth Imam that for 40 years after the tragedy of Karbala, his kitchen was never shut. That is, he had a catering service twice a day for 40 years. Wherever a majlis was held, he provides the food, the tabarruk, as we say today.
People, they used to come and say to the imam, is it not time now? You can shut this catering service. He says, no. It continued for 40 years. And again, when imam, he cries for 40 years for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. One of his khadims, he says that I come to the imam and I say to him that, imam, is it not time that you stop crying for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? You've cried enough for 40 years. Imam says, you want me to stop crying? And then says Prophet Yaqub, among the great prophets of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, he was blessed with 11 sons. One of them went missing, Yusuf. And then he cried so much for his Yusuf for such a long time that he lost his sight. Now that Yusuf was given back to him later on. He says, you want me not to cry when I saw with these two eyes of mine everything perish before me on that day of Ashura. My father, my brothers, my relatives, everyone, the companions, one after the other, they were massacred, they were killed on that one day. And you want me not to cry? Imam weeps for 40 years. And among the reports that we have for a majlis that is held for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, one of these reports regarding the death of Yazid la'natullah alayh says that he was afflicted with a bad disease. Now there are other reports which say that he was lost in the jungle and only his leg had remained. Well, in any case, now according to this report which says that he was afflicted with a bad disease and the best of physicians were invited to come and treat him, the one who comes here is a Jew. He sees this affliction on Yazid, takes his turban out and says that, have you killed a prophet or among a progeny of his? Because the books that we have, the ulama that we have, they have said that no one will be afflicted with this disease of yours, but that he has killed a prophet or his progeny. Yazid, he puts his face, is ashamed, that side. Says that I killed Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet. He there embraces and comes to his brother's house and says that what I saw today is what was told to us by our ulama, and this is haq, and that is the faith that was brought forth by the Prophet, and he embraces. The brother, he was one of those hardliners who did not accept. The wife of this brother, that is his sister-in-law, she hears and she immediately embraces. And then wherever a majlis was held, she is one of those personalities who goes and attends into that majlis held for Abu Abdullah. And then there are these nasty people in every community. They inform the husband that your wife, she has embraced and she attends a majlis wherever it is held for Abu Abdullah. And he wants to test her. Says that tonight we have a gathering. I've got some guests, 70 of them, all dignified persons. And I want you to cook the best of meals, prepare the best, and this house also has to be put in order. She says, okay. And all of a sudden, again, she hears a majlis and she leaves everything behind and goes to attend that majlis. When she comes back, all of a sudden she's reminded that I had to go home. I had these guests. And when she comes home, she finds that the house, everything is in order. Food has been cooked. And she sees someone sitting in the hallway there and she is crying the most. She has something in her lap. And says that, who are you? Says, I am Fatima, Hussein's mother. Someone who serves me, someone who cries for my son, it is an obligation upon me, it is wajib on me, I serve her, I serve them. And she says, I see in the kitchen there are so many women working. One of them tall, cries the most, weeps the most. And says, who is that? She says that she is Zainab. And she makes it a mandatory on her to come and participate, help someone out who moans for her brother, Abu Abdullah and Hussein. May Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, give us opportunity more and more to cry on Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. May He, Jalla wa Ala, never separate us from Quran, Ahlul Bayt, and in particular Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, never in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah. May He, tabaraka wa ta'ala, hasten the arrival of our 12th Imam. Enlist us among His supporters and servants. Those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. Those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. Forgive them. May Allah enlighten us by the mediation of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. May Allah forgive us all the wrong that we have done throughout our life by the mediation of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. May Allah Jalla wa Ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah and an asset for us in our graves and in our hereafter. وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان.